Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Oh, welcome into Sabres Live here at KeyBank Center, downtown Buffalo. Beautiful day outside. It's going to be an awesome day inside our studio here. Marty Baron alongside Dan Dunleavy.
I thought it was rainy outside. Maybe like, the sun came out since we
Is your got chair all the way up? Or is
I like it
like,
down. No, I want to... You're sitting with my belly on the desk is not working for me, so I'm
I don't think you're sitting staying. With your belly on the desk, but...
Yeah, and you know, there, I'm doing it. I'm not twisting and turning. I'm not looking at you because it hurts.
Okay, let me see. Maybe physically... if I lower myself down a little bit, we're going to be a little... People are going to stop asking me, why am I so darn tall? Because they always say, you're a lot taller. We thought, because when I'm sitting, I'm the same height as everybody, and then when I'm standing, I'm a little tall.
Marty, so can I just tell you, for the people that are not Marty, that's not the first thing that's brought up when they ask about Marty.
It is usually the first thing,
They ask if your eyes are really that color. Then they ask, is he really that nice all the time? Which we say, yes, he is. And then they ask, does he really talk that often? And I say, I'm glad he does because my wife says I talk too much as well. So does Razor.
Yes.
So that's why I like hosting.
Yeah, so I talk a lot. I'm tall. My eyes are blue. And I'm not that nice. It depends on what day you get me. So that's the way it goes.
These I'm not turning and looking at you. It hurts my it hurts my back.
We're going to look at the camera. We're going to talk straight to you on MSG right now if you're listening. Sorry if you're on GR. We are going to talk straight to you. That's the way it goes. Okay, busy show today.
Yes.
Because we do have Travis Yost from TSN. He's a hockey writer. A lot of analytics. We haven't talked a lot about, you know, the outside perception on the Sabres. You know, Connor Hellebuyck news. Is there something? Like, what would that mean? Other things about the Atlantic Division. So we're going to talk to Travis
Yost about
that.
Has there been talk about Connor Hellebuyck or something in the offseason? I've missed it.
There has been a lot of talk. It's dying down, but from all the rumor mill, it may pick back up again late August, early September. We will see. And then we're also going to get Todd Kearns, music legend, Canadian-born. Todd Kearns, who is, I've been playing, and it was with the is it called the Slash Band?
Or so you go way back to Age of Electric years ago for those in the late 80s, 90s. And from there, Todd has risen to, I guess, a global attention in playing with Slash and Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. And they have a fifth album coming out next year, which I'm sure he might talk a little bit about. But he and I got to know each other a little bit many years ago, just actually through social media is one of the good things that has happened. And we'll talk more about that when he comes on. But he has a really strong hockey connection in his family, which we will talk about. And that's how it kind of came to be that our conversation continued for a little bit, where I was going on about what a great band he's in and what a great bass player and vocalist he is. And he said, forget about that. I know who you are. Let's talk hockey, which I thought was really cool.
Do you talk that much? You that nice of a guy? That's what he was asking, right?
No, he asked about you right away, which I can't get over it.
Okay, so we are going to get Todd Kearns on the show as well. That will be at the bottom of the hour. But we obviously have to hit some of the hockey news that, you know, happen in the middle of
Marty,
August.
How was your night? We didn't talk. You like talking about yesterday.
Nah, we got a lot on the show today, so we got to skip over. I played golf at Park Country Club with the Buffalo Renaissance.
Stop talking about it.
And that was awesome. I felt like I played really well. Okay, Nathan Page, former Sabres.
Yes.
And Rochester Americans player and Rochester Americans assistant coach Nathan Page is leaving the Rochester American to become the head coach of the Youngstown Phantoms of the USHL. So that's pretty significant because we know that Michael Leone lost Vinny Prospol as an assistant earlier in the summer. He went to St. Louis with the Blues. And late in the summer, Nathan Page is accepting the job with the Youngstown Phantoms to be their head coach, replacing Ryan Ward, who moved on to be an assistant with the Providence Bruins. It's weird. So the head coach of Youngstown leaves to be an assistant in the AHL. An assistant in the AHL leaves to be the head coach there in the USHL. But we wish all the best to Pager. Fantastic guy. He's been great at developing that group of defensemen,
right? That's the itch, right? To be the lead developer of teams, whether it be in the American League or in the USHL, but a chance for it to be your team and your game plan and your fingerprints on it. I think it says a lot about what's been going on in Rochester, too, that you're not only grooming some pretty good players to be ready for the NHL, but other members of the coaching fraternity, too, that want to go on and do things under their own umbrella of ideas on how they want to develop players.
Learning
so it's
to
good.
Be a head coach is big. Like if you've never been a head coach, you want to be a head coach. But even you know, think of Zach Jones, who won the Defenseman of the Year, the Edishaw Award last year. Zach Metsa, how well he played. The young group of defensemen. A lot of that has to be with what Pacher's done. Pacher, good luck. We love you. Come back on the show. We'll talk to you.
Go get him
and see what's happening in the USHL next year. Okay, we have talked about the Sabre live show being in the Saberhood. So once again on Thursday, the Grill at the Dome in Tonawanda, home of the Sports Zone, from 12 to 1, we will be there. Dan Dunleavy and I, our crew, we got giveaways. Zenon Konopka is going to be there. Sabretooth is going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And that spot, by the way, Tom Askey.
I've never been, so I'm looking forward to it.
Former Rochester Americans, Tom Askey. Yeah. Texted me this morning, says, you're going to be in my neighborhood. That's where he goes. That's where we went to get our first beer when we were of age. Yeah, right. Maybe in that area, they golfed there. They played hockey there. They did everything around there. So it'll be fun to go there on Thursday. But now let's welcome in Travis Yost, hockey writer with TSN. You're wearing a Syracuse shirt, Travis. What's going on here?
I know, I'm a Sun Devil. Most of my family went to Syracuse, though. But I was smart enough. I said, I got to get out of New York and go Southwest, go to Arizona State. But most of my family went to Syracuse.
I was going to say, like, that wasn't on the bio. Syracuse was not your alma mater. It was Arizona State. You did grow up in New York, though. So what made you want to go to Arizona State as opposed to staying, you know, where everybody goes for journalism, Syracuse Orange?
Well, let me ask you, how's the weather been the last month for you
boys?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. I appreciate that answer.
You know what?
Yes.
He watched the Jeff Glore interview yesterday. He went to Syracuse, so he's tipping his cap to a fellow journalist.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeff Glore. Yeah.
Well, now I'm a little jealous, though. You guys, I was seeing the Grill ad. Fourth-line legend, Zenon Konopka, winning every face-off under the sun for his whole career. And you guys are bringing him out for the fans.
We're going to talk about that face-off
technique
tomorrow.
Did you ever write about Zenon Konopka? That's the one thing I want to know. Did you write a big piece about his approach to the game and his influence on the game?
I can say this, and I've got enough gray in my beard now to say this with authority. I've been doing this long enough now where I've looked at too many numbers of too many players too far down on the depth chart, and he's certainly one of them. But I remember him very well. One of my favorite defensive players were up there with David Moss and Eric Condra and a lot of the guys, you know, 10, 15 years ago who, you know, they'd give you 6, 8, 10 goals a year, but you know, we're defensive stalwarts. So I've got a special place in my heart for those guys.
Producer Sam wanted to know, where in New York did you grow up?
What Long part Island, of the state? Baby.
Long
Queens.
Island.
Born in Queens and lived out in Long Island, a place called Bellport, my whole life, and then moved out west. And you know, I like visiting New York. I'm coming up for a Bills game this year because I got to check out the new stadium. Hopefully, yeah. I don't get in one of those seats, you know, the ones that's like this. I'm trying to avoid that, but I will be up there.
There's like a handful of them. Don't read everything and don't believe everything you read on social media. The
yeah, but you know what? Listen, if you get that seat, if people sitting around you might just start bringing you a beer and say, "Here, dude, have a drink on me."
Especially you know Bills fans. Especially
yes. Bills fans. Like, I think they would help you out.
The best part about the stadium is if you are not liking your seat, go for a walk. You can see the game walking around the stadium. It's not like you're at the old stadium where you're buying cement and you don't see the field at all. You can walk around and see. It's like a baseball stadium almost where you can walk around and see everything. So enjoy that. But okay, grew up on Long Island, a lot of Jets and Giants fans over there. How did you become a Bills fan?
So this goes back to this, but my dad's side of the family is all from upstate New York. And when I was, this is a true story. I've told this on GR a couple times with Shope and Dog, but it is, it effectively cursed me for my entire life. But when I was like 4 or 5, it's like
going on the show or the story,
like 1993, 1994. I was starting to get into football. And I remember asking my dad, it's one of my first childhood memories. I said, "Dad, what's the New York football team?" And my dad, corny as he is, had to make the joke of, actually, it's only the Bills because the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey. And I said, I'm a Bills fan. And then, of course, the Giants went on to win 2 Super Bowls, and the Bills were terrible my entire life up until 9 years ago. but I decided, you know, this time, if we only get one life, I'm going down with the ship. I'm going to take the Bills all the way. However long I live, I'm going down with the ship.
A sports lesson and a geography lesson all together at the age of 4 or 5. So I totally appreciate that. Okay, let's talk a little hockey because we got you on. Travis Yost here on Sabres Live, MSG and WGR 550. Sabres. Okay, so we talk about Sabres lost Alex Tuch. They lost Bo Byram. You know, goaltending's a question mark. So what is your kind of outside look approach to where the Sabres are going to be this year? I tend to tell people they're going to be better. I really feel they are going to be better with some of the pieces that they have coming up. But I don't know, like from your point, from some of the numbers, what do you see the Sabres at this season?
I'm mostly inclined to agree with you. I think the tiny exception, right? Improving on a 108-point season is pretty difficult, right? There's a couple things at play there. And the one headwind I think the Sabres are going to have this year, the division is very good. Like, you know, I know Ottawa lost Brady Tkachuk. Toronto gets the first overall pick. They're bringing McKenna right into the top six. Montreal is a force. Tampa Bay is still a force. You know, there's 5 teams with a bullet that you can see are immediate playoff caliber, and not to mention Florida's coming back to full health with Brady Tkachuk. So the division's going to be an absolute knife fight. So is there a world, Marty, where, you know, the Sabres net look better on ice but may have a few points less in the standings? I think that's absolutely on the board. Yeah. To your point, though, and the part I agree with the loudest, you know, what they lost was actually an area of strength. I'll tell you, the one thing I took so much heat on last summer, I do talent tiers every I grade every single depth chart of every single position across the entire team in August when all of the important people at TSN leave. And then it's like, well, all we have left is Trav. So what can Trav do for us? Well, Trav can grade every depth chart. And last summer, I was really talking up the Sabres blue line. I'm like, they can run 3 credible pairings, 2 high-end quality pairings, and they're a tier one defensive group for me, no doubt about it. And all I ever heard was, oh, look how many goals they give up. And it's like, that's a goaltending problem. And yeah, on and on as the season played out. And by the way, I took a lot of heat from Kings fans because I killed them. You know, I get things wrong every 15 minutes or so probably. But let's say I pinned the Sabres blue line good, Kings blue line not so good, pretty well last year. And I'm thinking about that, how it informs the season ahead. You know, the biggest loss is probably Byram. And it's not that he, you know, he was a consequential player. I think he's a good second pairing two-way player. But look at I thought the contract Chicago gave him was so outrageous and otherworldly. There's not a planet that the Sabres could have even paid a fraction of that intelligently. And the reason I bring it up is if that's your big loss, but it's coming from a core area of strength. I mean, if you look at their defensive pairings, the way they're set up heading into the season, you have Dahlin and Power still anchoring their top 4. And who was arguably the NHL's single most improved player last year? I would say Samuelson. I think he has a very strong argument. He was one of the best players in on-ice goal differential last year. The Sabres, I believe, last season outscored teams 98-64 at even strength with Samuelson on the ice. That is like peak Erik Karlsson type stuff. And, you know, to me, it's like, well, why are you leaning into something like that? Well, if they're finding players internally, organically, to backfill the loss of a player like Byram, they're not going to lose much steam there. I think their forward group is incredible. If you're going to say, hey, look, the downside risk is the goaltending question mark, I would say you're 100% right, and that's been true for the last 7, 8, 9 years in Buffalo. The one thing I would say about the Sabres goaltending and where it gives me a little bit of pause in relativity, even within the division, I think it's debatable how strong they are, and they did get really strong seasons last year. I mean, Alex Lyon, he's a German goalie. He's been very good, but he came in and was as reliable as a platoon 1A for the 30, 40 games that he played. And they finally caught some puck luck in a good way in net, but you know, that can always reverse very violently and quickly. There's only a few Connor Hellebucks and Shesterkins and Sorokins around the league, and the rest of it is you got to hope to catch lightning in a bottle, and you got to insulate those goalies. And I think the Sabres, at least on the latter side, have insulated their goalies really well.
Well, and they've done so, in my opinion, by how they play. I mean, every team that came up against Buffalo as the season went on, and when people became aware that this wasn't just a blip on the radar, it's how they played. It's how they forecheck. It's how they use their speed. It's how they don't, you know, their game plan is to not give you time to start moving your team up ice as a unit. They want to break that up before it starts, and they want you to start trying hope passes. And then sometimes you would see some one-on-one battles where, listen, the forward's going to win some of those against your D guys. So, you know, that's when all of a sudden, oh, you missed that one-on-one battle. Yeah, that's because the Sabres are playing a certain way here. So you're going to live and die with some of that fire. So,
but at the same time, Dan, like, we saw a lot of turnovers and lost battle that ended up in the back of the net 2, 3, 4 years ago, and last year we didn't.
Well, that's what
so
I'm
now
saying.
You're not focusing as much on that because you're saying it's not costing you anything, right?
And
that's what it is.
And I think the Sabres do lose. Listen, personality doesn't necessarily score you a goal or get you a point, but it does bleed through a lineup. So for me, that's the loss of Bowen Byram, right? It's the personality, the swagger. The Hawks are already talking about the swagger that he brought into meeting with the general manager and ownership of the team, how this guy's got just an aura about him. So he'll bring that into the room. For the Sabres, they already have that, and they've got some young guys who can carry that onward. Obviously, you're on, and we want to...
Dan, on your point, I completely agree with one specific thing you said there. Like, this team, the reason why the Sabres were so good last year, it was lost on people, I think, nationally, not locally. The Sabres have been a very good even strength team and a very good scoring offensive even strength team for at least three seasons now. They play with a lot of tempo, and I don't care how good an opponent is. When you're a team that can play with tempo, and that doesn't mean skating fast. That means playing with pace, playing north-south. When you can do that, you can really take the game to opponents. I thought the difference that Lindy Ruff made last year, in my opinion, they were a much better forechecking team. So now you still maintain all that pace of play, but you're getting pucks deeper into the offense, into the offensive third. That has a major dividend coming back defensively, where you don't feel so much under siege pressure coming back the other way. And I think you saw that bleed out in the goals against them.
Well, and you're talking, and you talk Samuelson's game. Listen, I think those of us in Buffalo, we saw this is where his game was going. Injuries then backtracked that, and the league thought maybe you paid too much for this guy, but I think, you know, again, to your point, locally it's easier to see because you're around these guys all the time. And yes, you can have Buffalo colored glasses on, but Samuelson's game was always going there. And because of the way that you just mentioned that they decided to play, which is we're going to forecheck the daylights out of you, and we're all in as a group. It's almost like Spanish soccer, where it's just support, right?
Yep.
Samuelson's jumping in on the offense only because he knows that they practice it. The support's going to be behind him. He can do it. So it's the way they play. And I to your both of your points, I know I'm dragging it out, but I think it's important. I don't think they've lost as much as people think. And I, too, think, yes, the rest of the division is really good, and Barkov's name hasn't even been mentioned here yet, but I think the Sabres aren't taking a step back on their own. Other teams will take a step forward.
Travis,
I agree.
Summertime is the Travis Yost time at TSN. It's also goalie mask season. Usually by middle of August, we're getting like, hey, look at this new design. We haven't heard Connor Hellebuck. We haven't seen his new design for this year. The painters, which, by the way, are my old painters at Eye Candy Air in Mississauga, are probably sitting on a few white masks in their office right now.
Good. Have them all
white.
Do you
believe Connor Hellebuck could be a Buffalo Sabres before the season starts?
I would not say that's the base case. I would say it's a little unlikely. But I would say the likelihood of a Hellebuck trade is still extremely high.
Okay.
And whether it happens now or at the deadline, I think the Sabres clearly, I mean, it's been loudly publicly reported. I mean, the Sabres have a major interest. You have a team here that's a bona fide playoff contender. Like, it would be a very disappointing season if the Sabres missed. When you've got a really talented core, you're coming off a season like you just had, and you know the only relative weakness you have on the roster is a goaltending question mark. And it's not even, that's not even to criticize the goaltenders they have signed. But compared to the defensive and forward group, you know it's the relative weakness of the three. If you
you're talking weakness by experience, I assume, correct? Because statistically and number-wise, it didn't show as a weakness last year. But I think we're talking, just to be fair to the guys that are here, and I'm not here to defend them, but number-wise, they're fine. But experience-wise, I think is where you're leading the conversation.
Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I've always been a big fan of Darcy Kuemper because it's not that he's ever been the best goalie in the league, but he's always one of the top 12 best goalies in the league. And consistency and reliability and durability at the position, the guy to your left will tell you is the most important thing on the planet. Persistently,
yeah,
like,
he's here
you don't
for every
want,
show.
you don't want whipsaw performance in goaltending, and you can look around the league and you find six or eight teams that have that every single year. Look at the Maple Leafs year over year the last 2 years, right? The goaltending completely sank them last year. I mean, they dealt with many problems, but not the least of which was they didn't have any reliability in net, and some of that was injury-related, some of that was performance-related. I think my point, though, on Hellebuck specifically, like, when do you have the opportunity to cash in on one of those very few goalies in the league that you are willing to deploy major assets and major cap space and capital to, with very high conviction and confidence that he's going to come in and be a top five goalie? To me, the number of guys who check all of those boxes is so small, you can probably measure it like this, right? It's only a couple goalies in the league that you have that much confidence in. And Hellebuck is at the top of the list. I mean, he's already a Hall of Fame level goaltender. And now at this point, he's only chasing a Stanley Cup. You saw what he did at the highest stakes at the Olympic level. I thought he was fantastic there. And frankly, I watch Winnipeg games, and how many years can you watch this team just constantly put that goaltender under siege and watch him pull rabbits out of his butt? Like, it's honestly remarkable. So I think he's a perfect fit for the organization. I think the Sabres have enough in goaltending. I think it's adequate enough that you still have a playoff team without Hellebuck on day one, or even on after game 82. I still think they're a playoff team. But if you tell me that the Sabres move a meaningful player, some futures, and carve out the requisite cap space and have Connor Hellebuck in net by game 30 of the season, I'm making this up.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
How are they not one of the Eastern Conference favorites, if not the Eastern Conference favorite? And to me, that's the most compelling argument, and I guarantee you what the front office is kicking around right now in theory.
It's about winning a cup. He got to the second round last year, but that's not even halfway to winning a cup. So I appreciate it. Travis, thanks for jumping on. I know you go on Chopin the Bulldog often. Thank you for making some time for us as well. We'll talk to you during the season maybe and kind of revisit some of your Long Island roots and all of that on the show. So, Travis, thanks a lot for stopping by.
No problem. You guys are much better looking than those two. So congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, guys. Bulldog does look good with the beard and everything. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. But before we go, I want to let you know that single game tickets for the Sabres 26-27 season are on sale right now. Experience every big moment live at KeyBank Center and be part of the excitement. Sabres.com/tickets is where you'll find the information. Todd Kearns, music legend. Right up after the break.
Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live, and I know we're going to be in the Sabrehood on Thursday, but the Sabrehood has come into Hockey Fest here, presented by Body Armor on September 12th outside of KeyBank Center. Gather your team and compete in a street hockey tournament with divisions for all ages and skill levels. Every participant is going to get a gift and two tickets to the preseason Sabres game against Columbus on September 22nd. Register your team today at sabres.com/hockeyfest. Now, I know our next guest...
He would play.
Played a lot of hockey, street hockey, growing up in Saskatchewan. Todd Kearns, music legend, but most importantly, a member of Age of Electric.
Well, that was early on, yeah.
Early on, a lot of bands. But Todd, joining us from Vegas right now, where it's probably pretty hot. Thanks a lot for jumping on Sabres Live. I know you were talking to Dan, and Dan got you to come on the show because of how much he loves music. But I don't know. How much do you love hockey, and who's your favorite team right now in the NHL?
Well, that's such a complicated thing. I grew up in Saskatchewan. We never had a national hockey team or international hockey team.
Yeah.
So it was always kind of like a thing between the Jets and the Oilers, because the Oilers, of course, were so the thing when I was a child.
Yeah.
And the Jets went away. As you know, they went away for a long time. So we gravitated towards the Jets. I lived in Calgary briefly. And the minute that I lived there, they won the cup. So I like to take some credit for that. And then I was in Vancouver for like 14 years, and it was a great time to be there. Trevor Linden, Bure, all that. So I'm a bit of a hodgepodge when it comes to, and people kind of give me a hard time because I do support the Knights now that I'm in Vegas. But you know, it's been really cool to have watched that team come here and become. I was there when they won the cup. You know, so it's. Yeah. It's been really cool. It's like I keep saying to my wife, I go, there was no hockey this day, and then the next day it was all about the Knights, and it was really cool to see that happen.
Yeah. I feel like black and red goat had gear on you would be fantastic. So maybe we got to bring you some swags when we're down in Vegas. Take care of that.
Well, their last album that the Conspirators and Slash and Miles Kennedy and Todd put out actually was a black and red kind of themed album cover, and the jacket and the layout and everything else. And
exactly.
Big time into it. Yeah. Big fan, Todd. You know that. It's a pleasure to talk to you finally, man. I mean, we've been back and forth texting, and you've been touring quite a bit. And I just sent you a note saying, hey, I just want to give you a heads up that I think you're one heck of a bass player and vocalist and just playing with Slash and Miles. Yeah. And I thought, this is a great band. And I've always been one of those guys, you know, growing up as a Van Halen rock and roll guy, a band with metal and harmonies, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm always looking. My ear wants to hear the harmonies and then the guitar. And that's what these guys do. And Todd is a big, big part of it. And then he mentions to me, hey, by the way, I've heard of you because I'm a big hockey fan.
Yeah, exactly. Are you throwing that in there, Dan?
What's happening right now? But I'm getting to a point, because your hockey connections go right down to Jeff Sanderson. We're talking family connections here in the NHL. Maybe you can share those with Sabres and hockey fans watching here.
Well, Jeff is a second cousin. I haven't seen him in years, but Jeff was, when I first sort of became aware of him, I believe, the Whalers, you know, things like that. So that goes to show you right there, that's no longer around. So
but he was on the Sabres.
Oh, yeah, great days, yeah. But the Sabres, he was on the Sabres briefly.
Yep.
I'm not exactly sure when, but he had a hell of a career. And then my direct first cousins, who grew up in the same town as me, the Brookbank brothers, both are NHL hockey players. So Sheldon, the younger one, was there in 13 when they got the cup. So he has the ring. He brought the Stanley Cup to our hometown. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. I was on tour. But my grandmother drank champagne from the Stanley Cup. So the connections are deep. You know, coming from a small town, people are always like, so is there like a billboard with your name on it? I go, dude, there are NHL players in this town. No one cares about some guy who plays rock and roll.
I don't think so. I think a lot of people care. I'm getting text messages right now from people that are listening and watching the show, and it's buzzing, so that's great. Now, I played with Sandy here in Buffalo and in Philadelphia, by the way, one of the fastest skater in the league.
Sure.
Like, the guy could fly.
Okay.
So that was awesome. Now, did you play, like, growing up in Saskatchewan, did you play street hockey, ball hockey, organized hockey? Did you get on the ice as a youngster?
All of the above. I mean, we played hockey up until when I was a kid. We grew up, I was born in Saskatchewan, but we immediately moved up to northern Manitoba. So.
Okay.
You know, there was Lynn Lake, Flin Flon, Thompson, that kind of, the Paw, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we played hockey, you know, all around that hood in Pee Wee up till about 12, I think. Yeah. Basically, as soon as I picked up a guitar, it all went to hell.
You know? That was the next question. Yeah,
that's a decision.
Yeah. So when did that? I mean, obviously, you're playing and where, by the way, the NHL should have their outdoor games, right on the lake up in those parts. But first guitar you ever bought, and you said, you know, around 12 you started picking up the guitar. But for most musicians, the first one is one you never forget or let go of. So what guitar was that, and where'd you buy it, and where is it?
Well, my father had like an old Harmony. It had like the two F holes. It was really hard to play, so we bought an Epiphone acoustic. He bought me an Epiphone acoustic, and that one didn't survive. It died a merciless death somewhere along the way. But I played the hell out of that thing for a long time. It was that, and then directly I had a bass guitar. My father, in his weird wisdom, was like, well, you have a guitar, you should get a bass guitar. Not like an electric guitar. I had an acoustic, you know, sitting around the campfire singing songs, and then it was a bass guitar. And the bass guitar is what led to being in bands, because no one wanted to play bass. So I suddenly found myself, you know, playing in bands immediately when I could barely play, just because everybody was looking for a bass player.
Did you do mostly covers early on, or did you write originals right away? How did that all, like, work for you, like, your direction in the music?
It was definitely both, but the scene that I was around, like, when I was a kid, I was, like, playing music by 14 years old every weekend, playing high school dances, which seems ridiculous now, but we would, you know, go out of town every weekend and play high school dances or these sort of town hall parties all around Saskatchewan. And that was always cover music, you know, whatever the top 40 kind of stuff was, or classic rock. And then, you know, I was always sort of motivated and quite ambitious to write music. So when we put Age of Electric together, that was sort of, we were always writing our own music, but we had sort of found ourselves in a world where you could work 7 days a week playing cover songs. So we financed ourselves rather than working at the grocery store. We just sort of played cover songs. Yeah.
What was that moment like when, with Age of Electric, you've got a chart moving song, you know, Remote Control and others that were actually resonating? I remember them growing up too. When I saw, you know, first reach out to you, I thought, wait a minute, back to Age of Electric. I was listening to that stuff, which is great. But what was the moment like when all of a sudden you're all looking at each other thinking they're listening and playing our stuff?
I think it was so gradual. It was the funniest thing, because we used to show up at, we were so accustomed to playing. I remember playing Buffalo for the first time to like zero people. You know, it's kind of like we're usually playing to the other bands that are on the bill at some random, either like a bowling alley or wherever they were having shows. And it would be like, there'd be two other bands. So you would play for them and they would watch you play, and then they would play and you would watch them, you know? So it was kind of, you know, we were so accustomed to that one, the day happens when you start showing up at venues to, you know, load your gear in and do sound check, and there's people there, and you go, why are these people here? And you realize, oh, they're there for us. They want to, you know, talk to us and take photos with us and meet us, you know. And it just became, it was so gradual in a way. Like, it never felt like when you watch those old, like, I don't know, like old Walk Hard, that movie where it's kind of like, you're nobody, you make a record, and boom, you're suddenly like a star. It's like, it was just so gradual that it was like incremental. And then all of a sudden, the 90s was happening, and it was kind of like this weird alternative time where it wasn't really that cool to pat yourself on the back too much. So even though we were starting to be successful, it was still kind of like, this is no big deal. You know, this is totally normal.
They say, act like you've been there before, right? Like, that's
exactly,
the thing.
Yeah.
This is normal.
Fake it till you make it. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Todd Kearns, music legend and obviously bassist vocalist with Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Let me ask you this, because people want to know about Slash, but I'm going to ask you, what was your first rehearsal with Slash like? Like going in and saying, that was my first time in rehearsal with him.
Well, the funniest thing is it's a good story, because I was here in Vegas and I was buying a house and my father came down because he's a grown up. And I'm kind of like, you know, at the time I was like, yeah, he just kind of gets psyched about that kind of, yeah, let's go look at some houses. Like, oh, okay. So we're sitting at a Chili's one day after this house that I closed on this house, and we're sitting at Chili's having a bite, and my phone rings and it's Brent Fitz, our drummer. And he goes, hey, can you be in LA tomorrow at like noon? And I remember looking across the table. My father's in town, so I want to bail on my dad. So I look across this table and I go, you want to go to LA tomorrow? And he goes, I've never been. And I go, well, now we have to go, because he's never been to LA. So we literally hopped in the car the next morning and drove to LA. And the best part of it is that everybody always kind of, you brought your dad to jam with Slash and the guys? I go,
who else would I bring? Yeah.
What was I supposed to do? Leave him in Vegas? So I'm setting up my stuff. I'm putting the gear on. Slash wasn't there yet. And as I turn around, I see my father, Gene Kearns, ex-Panoka hockey legend, shaking hands with Slash. And I'm going, oh, God, what is he saying? So he had technically met Slash before I met Slash in a funny way. So although there is a weird story of how I kind of ran into Slash in 1991 when we were trying to do the thing in Age of Electric, was trying to do the LA hustle, and Slash was just over the next table and at the Rainbow and all that kind of stuff. But that was really the first one. So it was a surreal conversation, because when they, everybody knew me to be the guy that's like, oh, Todd knows all those songs. Todd knows all that stuff. He knows all the Guns N' Roses songs. And I just sort of like, I didn't go over anything. I literally was driving in the car going like, I guess I probably should have listened to some of this music. Show up, play Night Train or whatever, a couple songs with the guys. And then Slash is like, okay, we have Jay Leno next week. And I'm like, whoa, what's happening? It was really fast and really crazy. Immediately, I was thrown into the fire.
Wow. Well, and I can say, Todd won't say it, but, Slash, when asked about Todd, talks about, and again, Todd, you kind of brought it up, your preparedness and knowing the music, even if you're driving in thinking, maybe I should listen to that stuff. Slash calls him one take.
Yeah.
So Slash says, I got this guy, bass player, is one take. He can play, this guy from Canada can play anything I want, and it's on the first take, and we're done. And that obviously, for someone like Slash, or as you have your hand in so many different music projects, Todd, as well, you can actually appreciate probably that compliment and saying, hey, listen, one take, that I'll take that compliment, because I'm looking for the same in my own bands. So
of course, I appreciate that. I think that's a sort of a stretch, but I'll 100% take it. Put it on the tombstone. He could do it in one take, it's true. I feel that, like, other than that time showing up and going like, I don't know any of his solo material because it hadn't been released yet. So I was like, yes, I know all the Guns N' Roses material just because I'm a fan and all that. And then it was just sort of a case of just digging in. So now, but I am the kind of guy that when it's like, I always have things coming up. I always have things going on. And it's like, I am not going to show up and not, I don't want to be the guy who's the one who's the least prepared. I always want to make sure I know what I'm doing. I know what we're going to do, and you can rely on me to be prepared.
How much do you enjoy the partnership with Miles? Because your voices just work so well together. And obviously, in that there are a couple of songs in that band that you are actually lead vocals, and you do such a great job on them. And then when you and Miles team up and you hit certain harmonies behind the guitar in that band and the drums, just all of it with your bass playing, I just think it's remarkable. I mean, I tip my cap to you because you're so good. So what's that partnership like?
Well, thank you. It's an interesting one, because initially there was no talk about like singing harmonies or anything. It was just basically looking for a bass player to come in and play the parts. And then it was like, okay, well, I'll sing this and I'll sing that, because there's harmonies on the song. So they don't need to be covered. There's a lot of people who would just sort of avoid them, but I'm like, well, I could sing that. And Miles and I became so comfortable singing together that it became just super normal. And Miles is the kind of guy who is so accustomed to singing his own harmonies on his own recordings because he's that good of a singer. And very quickly, in 2012, I think it was, we made World on Fire, the first record of our own music together. Mm-hmm. And I think Miles still had that kind of like, we were both kind of singing together on certain parts. And eventually he was just kind of like, you got this, go do it. And now when we do records, he's, you know, he's kind enough to kind of go do his parts and he's gone. It's kind of like I show up and it's basically I handle all the other stuff. So we really have a great chemistry that way. He's an amazing guy too. A really lovely guy, and
anyone who writes a song about missing their dog when they're on tour is a great guy. Okay,
Dan's a big dog person. I am a big dog person too. But that's great.
And Todd has done shows in raising money for and not only rescues but spay and neuter your animals too. So
the old Bob Barker, Price is Right. You know, make sure you're spay and neuter your dogs.
That's right. Exactly.
Signs of a good human being.
Let me ask you this, Todd. Okay, because you're a hockey guy. Most hockey players want to be rock stars. Like, I have a guitar at home. Luckily, my daughter, who's 18, she sings, she plays. It's beautiful. I always wanted to play, never got to it, but that's my laziness. But we all want to be rock stars. So if I ask you to put a rock band of hockey players, like a singer, a guitarist, a bassist, and a drummer, you could pick current players or retired players. Like, who would be the four that you say, man, that would be a band?
Well, I would have to have some kind of enforcer on the drums, like a Marty McSorley or somebody like that. Okay. I guess you got to put like a hot dog, like a Crosby on lead guitar. It just seems like that's kind of the hot dog thing to do. I guess old school would be the Wayne Gretzky's kind of thing. I want to put Paul Bissonnette on lead vocals because I love his attitude.
Okay, that's good.
And I don't know, another enforcer on bass. I can't think of who I would put on bass, though.
We could Hunter, teach Razor.
Well, we could teach Rob Ray about that.
You know,
he likes to go shirtless, so maybe I'd be good to be shirtless at the bass.
Exactly. I think this would possibly be the greatest band in the world, especially when those bar brawls break out, then they can, you know, take care of business. Yeah.
That would be really good. You know, you'd be in good hands.
Hey, Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, absolutely. Roadhouse, yeah. Another question I have for you, because in hockey, they always talk about, this is a tough road arena to play in. Is there a city or a fan base that you're like, that's a tough road fan base to go and play for?
I always mentally prepare for Boston. I don't know why. Back in the past, it used to be a little bit adversarial. Like, you would kind of expect there to be a little bit of a, you know, show us, you know, prove yourself to us kind of. I mean, New York and L.A. and those kind of places, Toronto, Vancouver, those kind of towns, that there's always this sort of attitude. They've seen it all. They've heard it all. They can sort of stand in the back of the room with their arms crossed going, impress me, you know. Boston's just a tough town, you know. Boston's just a tough town, and I will admit that, you know, as a Canadian band playing across Canada, you would have hit songs all the way. You know, if you had a hit song, lucky enough to have a hit song across Canada, going into Quebec was always kind of like, well,
yeah.
Now you're starting all over again, and I used to really appreciate the fact that they are not. They have their own thing. I mean, that's the beauty of these different areas. It's like, well, now. Show us, you know, so we had to build that one set of ears at a time, too, like anybody else.
Well, I think you need to give Buffalo another shot here, especially with Tuke.
I love Buffalo.
Right? Playing the Canadian rock covers. I mean, this is the town it'll work in big time.
100%.
With all the cross-border people that would come and see at the different locations downtown here. So I think we need to get Todd's band in Buffalo one night, Marty. Then you, myself, and Razor Duffer will all show up.
Well, it would be fun. I would definitely would love to have you. Or if we're in Vegas, we definitely got to meet up with you.
100%.
I think the Sabres are in Vegas in December this year. I got to double check that. But anyway,
yes, we're not in the night before, now, but we're staying over after the game, Todd. So
do you know,
around,
trick question, do you know the current NHL player who's also from Estevan, Saskatchewan? Do you know who?
You know, somebody mentioned this to me, and it's escaped me. Who is
Tanner Janot. Tanner Janot is from Estevan, Saskatchewan. Yeah. So he is the one right now, current NHL player. We need a sign. Welcome to Estevan, Saskatchewan, home of Todd Kearns and Tanner Janot. We got to build that in that town, so that would be awesome. So.
Really quick, a chance to promote your next show coming up. I know it's in Vegas, but go ahead. Give it a plug.
Yeah, well, this Friday or Saturday, we're playing in Winnipeg. Tuke's playing in Winnipeg at the Burt Block. They have a party down by the Burton Cummings Theater, so we'll be playing there with Street Hart and Colin James. That's the most Canadian sentence I've ever said.
Yeah, it is.
And then, August 22nd, I'm playing at the Hard Rock Cafe. We're raising money and donations for the SPCA. It's a pre-party for the Guns N' Roses show happening here over at Allegiant Stadium. So we're going to go do my thing. It's an acoustic thing. I'll probably jam with some friends, and then we'll bounce over to watch the Black Crows, and then Guns N' Roses. It'll be a huge night.
What a great show. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for joining the show, Todd. It was awesome to meet you. I'm sure the fans are going to just flood the music and go and look at all your catalog and everything, Age of Electrics, and obviously Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. We'll see you in Vegas when we come in to see and play the Golden Knights.
Good job.
Hell yeah. See you soon.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Is soon. Sabres Live. We'll be right back with birthdays and Dazzled and Disturbed.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It is that time of the week again on Thursday where Sabres Live is in the Saberhood Grill at the Dome, home of the Sports Zone, Tonawanda, right off the 290. You know where it is. We'll be there live from 12 to 1. We'll be there before and after, signing an autograph, taking pictures. Dan is going to talk to everybody. Hopefully, you'll be on the show. Hit some balls. It will be awesome. It is time now for Dazzled and Disturbed.
Dazzled and
Disturbed.
So, Dan, I don't know if you want to do this, but there was a new blob world record. Robin Steiner went up 92.5 feet in the air. Like, that is high and crazy, uncontrollable, but the blob, like, that's fun. Like, people jump on the one side, and then you go flying up in the air.
I'd never heard of that till we started getting ready for the show today. So, this is new to me, and that's neck-breaking. It looks fun, though.
It looks a lot of fun. But now, let me ask you this. Would you jump off of a 92-foot platform and just jump in the water from that high?
Not now. I would have 30 years ago.
Yeah. How about Disturbed? This we've been trying to get in since last Thursday, but we got to get it in. So a steakhouse in Hollywood, Florida, called the Class Soiree Steakhouse, is offering nude dining experience. They had a group of nudists come in and rent out the whole restaurant, about 30, 40 of them, and they really enjoyed the experience. So now once a month, you pay a premium and you go to eat naked, basically. Not like being served naked, like the servers are all dressed up. You just go in the nude and you eat. Would you, on the road in Florida, take Razor to a nude dining experience?
Not a chance. I don't even knock on his hotel door when we're on the road because I don't need that door opening.
No, like at home, in your own home, would you eat in a birthday suit?
Is this show almost over?
It's over. We got 5 seconds. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.